Jesus' name this morning, I've wanted to be here a long time ago. I think Steve invited me a long time ago to come. And it took a funeral to bring us out here, but you know that's the way sometimes it is. Sometimes we are relatives and that we don't see them until they die. Then we go see them. But it actually shouldn't be that way, should it? We should be concerned in seeing one another before that all takes place. But anyhow, we're glad to be here this morning. And we're in the midst of having tent meetings in Ohio. And I would want to just tell you that all of you are welcome to come in. There's room for all of you. Leonard Martin is preaching in there this coming week. So I give you a personal invitation to come. As I was thinking of what our brother shared and also the things that God put on my heart this morning, I would I think his emphasis fits right in with what God placed on my heart in to share. I'd like to just write it on the board here. Casual Christianity or discipleship? I hope I spelled it right. I'm not quite sure. Maybe I didn't dot my I's all. Something that's plagued the Christian churches for the last several years, I would say, has been this thing of becoming casual in our life, in our walk with God. And it has brought much turmoil among the churches because of that. And I'd like to just speak a little bit about this morning, if you'd allow me to. It's been something that I think maybe you haven't struggled with it, but we have, and others have struggled with this. This thing of just becoming casual. And I think there's a Bible term for it. It's called lukewarm. I think it's called lukewarm in Revelation. And it's not just something that has come upon the churches now, but it has been that way for many, many years. There's been times when the church rises up and then they become lukewarm, they become casual, and they lose out. And it's so sad, because in that losing out time, there's people going to be lost. Yeah, there's people going to be lost because of that, becoming lukewarm. Jesus said, I'll spew thee out of my mouth. He told the church in Laodicea. But before we begin here, let us pray. Father, I pray this morning, please help me to be able to share these things that are on my heart. Will you just give us courage this morning and give us the Holy Spirit. And not only that, but give us the remedy for our sickness, for our illness, for our spiritual destituteness, Lord. However I could say it, Lord, please, you know what I mean. Just help us, Lord, that we can understand your heart this morning as we share these things. And please help us, Lord, that we can be strengthened, and the power that we heard about from our brother, that power might work in us in a mighty way to overcome the wicked one. So we commit this to you in Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. I would like to maybe turn to John, St. John, chapter 18. Read a portion of scripture here just to kind of set a little example. There are several examples, actually, I should bring out, but I don't know if I have time to do that all. In the Old Testament, there were some examples. I think of King David. King David, there was a time, you know, King David was a man after God's own heart, wasn't he? King David was a God-fearing man, and he experienced many times the power of God in his life, but one time he was not where he ought to have been. He was not in battle. He was having a casual stroll on top of his house, and he fell into sin and committed a horrible sin through that all. That's where this casual Christianity takes people. That's where it took David. It led him into sin. And I think that's one of the things that Satan wants. He doesn't want you to just stop being a Christian, but he wants to just cool you down a little bit and just kind of simmer down a little bit and just not get so serious about walking and not get so serious about being perfected in Christ. He wants you just to be kind of, well, not too overcoming. Like our brother was saying, being perfected in Christ. Satan doesn't want us to be perfected in Christ. He doesn't mind if we profess to be Christians. I was yesterday, I can't help but think about this. I was going with some others. We were passing out tracts and stuff like that up in Akron. And many times people would come by there as we were holding up signs, you know, gospel signs. And they would see the sign, they'd honk their horns. And some of those people, you know, were out for a big time. They were just out having a big time. They were not serious about their life. But yet, they liked it when there's somebody there holding the sign. But I doubted whether they'd have done that. Because they were out for a good time. And that is the way too much of our Christianity is today. People are out for a good time. Well, here in chapter 18 of John, this is at the crucifixion of Christ. Just after they came, after the soldiers had taken Christ, it says in verse 15, Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. That disciple was known unto the high priest and went in with Jesus into the palace of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door without. Then went out that other disciple, which was known unto the high priest, and spake unto her that kept the door, and brought in Peter. Then said the damsel that kept the door unto Peter, Art not thou also one of this man's disciples? He saith, I am not. And you know, interestingly, just a few pages back in your Bibles, you will find Peter saying in chapter 13, Peter said in verse 37 there, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. I am going to lay down my life for your sake. That's how serious Peter was. And now he says, when he's asked the question, Are you a disciple? I am not. And the servants and officers stood there who had made a fire of coals, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself. This was Peter. And I love Peter. Peter was a fiery man. He was. But this is a weak moment in Peter's life. Peter, when the going got tough, and he had to admit that he was a Christian or a follower of Christ, when Christ was going to be crucified, when Christ was going to be tortured, when Christ was being put on the spot, Peter backed off. He said, No, I'm not. I'm not. I'm not one of them. Verse 25, And Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. They said therefore unto him, Art not thou also one of his disciples? He denied it and said, I am not. Verse 26, One of the servants of the high priest, being his kinsman, whose ear Peter cut off, said, Did not I see thee in the garden with him? And Peter then denied again. Immediately the cock crew. You know, Peter was... I don't think Peter had any intentions to deny Jesus. I don't think so. I think he was dead serious that he would lay down his life. You know, it was Peter that said, Thou art the Christ. Remember, he confessed that he was the Christ. That was Peter. Peter, when the going got tough, he backed down. Peter stayed a cool distance away. Peter warmed himself at the enemy's fire, and Peter denied Jesus three times. That was Peter's weak moment. And he became casual. He became not too serious. And I'd just like to say this morning, that we may not think that we would ever do that. But I really believe this morning that unless we are disciples of Christ, unless we're willing to take the discipleship route and be a disciple, those things will happen to us. Unless we're willing to go the way of the cross, like we heard this morning. And the churches today are filled with people that are casual, I think. I think I see that. And I think it's time that we evaluate our lives. I remember years ago when the churches burned with fire, when there was not a person, they were not ashamed to confess Jesus Christ. And that's what I'm concerned about this morning. The casual attitude, that casual attitude affects us. It affects our prayer life. It affects the sensitivity of our conscience. It affects the sinfulness of sin. It affects our desire for the Word of God. And it directly affects my love for Christ. It affects a lot of things. It affects how you sit in church. It affects how much interest you have in the things of God. It affects how you dress. It affects what kind of shoes you wear. It affects your hairstyles. It affects what dress codes you have. It affects your whole being, your demeanor. It does. Casual Christianity does not fit a Holy Ghost-fired soul. A soul that's on fire with the Holy Ghost. Casual Christianity doesn't fit that one. It doesn't fit the redeemed soul. It doesn't fit the one who is redeemed, who has that first love. It doesn't fit that one. Peter, we could go to the second example of Peter there in John chapter 21. This was even after the resurrection. And I hate to pick on Peter, but he leaves some examples here that I think it'd do us good to look at, just to see what Peter went through. In chapter 21, verse 3, it says, Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. They say unto him, We also go with thee. And they went forth and entered into a ship immediately. That night they caught nix. They caught nothing. They had a whole boatload of nothing by morning. Isn't that the way it is in our life when we're trying to find something else to do? Something else to satisfy that thing that's missing. You know, and if we're casual, there's something missing. And so Peter just said, I'm going fishing. You know, it wasn't that he didn't have a good boat. It was not that he didn't have a good net. It wasn't that Peter wasn't an experienced fisherman. Peter was an experienced fisherman. That's what he grew up doing. He had all the right gear to do it. And he had to help. And all these men that went with him were probably good fishermen. But they came up with nothing. Why? Why did they come up with nothing? Because they went without the Lord. They went on their own without the Lord. It says in verse 4, But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said unto them, children, have ye any meat? They answered, no. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. And they cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of the fishes. Hallelujah. You know, when they heard the voice of Christ, they did what he said. They listened to him. And look what happened. It says they were not able to draw it in for the multitude of fishes. And then Peter came to his senses there. In verse 7 it says, that Peter whom Jesus loved saith unto, that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. It is the Lord. You know, when it is the Lord, things happen. And life takes on a different turn. Amen. And like Peter, casual Christians fish the wrong places. They fish the wrong places. They fish all night and they fish in the wrong places if they're the casual Christian does. He fishes at the place where there's no there's no fish. There's no nothing there to satisfy emptiness. I don't know what you think about that, but there's a lot of, I believe, casual Christians. And I wonder how many of us are in this, but many a times we are surfing. We're surfing. You know what that is? Surfing the web, surfing here and surfing there. We're looking for something, but is it the right thing that we're looking for? What are we looking for when we're surfing? I took a man to the doctor the other day that had his finger hurt, and I was sitting there in the waiting room, and there was two people sitting there, actually three, a mother and her little daughter, and on the other side there was a man, and I just glanced over. No, there were three, because I remember seeing three people doing this, but they were, all of them were sitting there with their cell phones, either surfing or playing a game, one of the two. I'm not sure what they were doing. But all the time they were there, nobody was talking to anybody. Everybody was just sitting there with their cell phones. Surfing the web. Fishing the wrong places. Casual Christians warm themselves at the enemy's fires. That's a dangerous place to warm yourself. To stand by the enemy's fire. The casual spirit says, just play it cool, no need for concern. It says, let's have some fun, I'm bored stiff. It says, let's have a blast, let's throw a party. It says, give me some elbow room. Don't crowd me so hard. It says, let's go to another church where they're not quite as rigid as they are here. They want a little more liberty to do what they want. So let's go to another church. That's a casual spirit. If you go after those kinds of things, you are not a disciple, but you're casual. You're not a disciple. Do you want to be a disciple of Christ? Satan has so many things to entertain the casual, undetecting Christians. What is the casual end? The casual end ends often in casualties. You know what a casualty is? A casualty is death. That's what it ends. The dog returns to his vomit, the Bible says. The pig to his watering hole in the mire. It also ends with a house that's filled with seven other spirits, and the last state of that man is worse than the beginning. Another place it says it ends in shipwreck. Shipwreck. Casualties. Lost souls. That's where this casual attitude ends. Now, I know up to now, it didn't sound very exciting, does it? This sounds really negative, what I've been sharing with you. But I'll tell you, it ends up negative. It does. Let me emphasize that. It ends up negative. But there is a cure for it. And I would like to just go back in that scripture that you had this morning that our brother shared this morning, a few verses on it. I'd like to go back there to Peter again. I believe that in this chapter, we find a cure for casualness. And it's one that is discipleship. This chapter tells you what being a disciple does. Let's read in 2 Peter chapter 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have attained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. You know what? This is the same Peter that said, I don't know him. He said, three times he said, I don't know him. This is the same Peter that fished on the wrong side of the boat. But this is also the same Peter that wept and repented. It says he wept and he repented. And this is the same Peter that was filled with the Holy Ghost at Pentecost and that preached a sermon. This is the same Peter that preached a sermon and 3,000 people got converted. It's the same Peter. So there's hope for us. If we are casual, all we need to do is get fired up and repent and weep and repent and get fired up. It'll take care of this casualness. He calls it now precious faith. Precious faith. And he's writing this to those who have obtained precious faith through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. He says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Grace and peace be multiplied. He doesn't just add it. He multiplies this to us. Through the knowledge of God, through finding the will of God, through understanding God and of Jesus our Lord. You know that grace and peace, it's God's will that thing keeps growing. It keeps growing in our life. Grace and peace. Our peace ought to get bigger. And the grace get abundant. And it says, according as His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. That's the life of a disciple. Getting to know Him, being filled, like it says there, according as divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. He's given us all things, and it gets more exciting as life goes on. You know, I'll tell you, this is more exciting than surfing the web. It is. It's more exciting than surfing the web. I was talking to an atheist, or he said he was an atheist yesterday, and this man said, "Don't talk to me about God." That's the first thing he told me when he got there. "Don't talk to me about God." And I said, "Why not? Why shouldn't I talk to you about God? Why not?" And he started telling me, you know, he believes what he believes, and he doesn't want to know what, or he doesn't like when people talk to him about God. He said, I have my mind made up, and that's the way it is. And so I just kept talking to him there, and I actually had the privilege to share my testimony with him, and he listened. And it was done with, I asked him, "Well, can I pray for you?" And I said, I won't pray for you here, but we'll pray. I'll pray when I get home. I'll pray for you." And anyhow, the man agreed to it, that I would pray for him. And he said, "If there is a God, you know, if there is a God, you know, maybe He can help me." So that just tells me that there's convincing power in Christ Jesus. And great promises for us. According as His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world. Being a partaker of the divine nature, that will take the casualness out of us. It'll make us see wonderful things. It'll make us say things that we never could say before, and do things we never could do before. The divine nature. That's the nature of God. When that comes into our hearts, it changes us. It's life-changing. And it helps us to escape those things that are in the world that come to us through lust. And it says, and besides this, by the way, that also affects our lifestyle. It does. It affects the way we live. Verse 5, and besides this, giving all diligence. That doesn't sound very casual to me, does it? Does it to you? Giving all diligence. Sounds like that sounds to me like we're in it all over. We're going after it. We want this. We want all that God has for us. We're willing to do like Peter said, "I'll die with you." I think after Peter repented, he got that vision back again. He said, He's willing to die, and he did die for him. Matter of fact, I think he was crucified upside down, if I remember right reading. His lot in life and death was to be crucified upside down because he didn't want to be crucified the same way that the Lord. He didn't feel worthy to be crucified that way. So he requested to be crucified upside down. But he says, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. Add to your faith, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's discipleship. But he that is lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, again it says, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Give diligence. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. If you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. Peter was excited about it. He didn't forget it. And he didn't want us to forget it. He didn't want the Christians to forget it. He doesn't want anybody to forget these things. And so he says, I'm here to stir you up, putting you in remembrance. Lately I've been reading some and studying some on things that slip away from us. And a lot of the times the things that slip away from us is because we don't preach it, we don't talk about it, we don't encourage each other in these things, and then they kind of slip away. There's things I see slipping in our churches today that I'm concerned about. Like, for instance, the Holy Kiss. That's one I think is one that's, as people get casual and not too concerned about things anymore, you know, they give a high five and they just give a handshake or maybe just a hug or whatever, but not anything but the Holy Kiss, you know. Well, maybe it's not a Holy Kiss anymore. Maybe that's why. I don't know, but that's one of them that I think is slipping. And I believe another one that's slipping is the sister's place in with the head veiling and that. I think that's slipping. And a lot of times it about slips off their head. There's nothing there anymore, you know, or barely. Some of them have lost it completely. But that all comes because they don't see the principle if we don't teach it. If we don't teach these kind of things, the sisters won't remember what the principle is. And that's what I think it's important that you know why you do what you do. If you're a disciple of Christ, you want to know why you do what you do. You want to find out why you do it. You don't want to just do it because everybody else does it. But you find out personally why you do what you do. But I think it's important for us to remind each other and to encourage each other and to stir each other up in these things. Most of all, that we stir each other up in Christ Jesus, that we don't lose the love of Christ. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed, and look what he writes here, we have not followed cunning devised fables when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and were eyewitnesses of his majesty. What Peter is saying, we were here, we walked with him, we saw him, we lived with Jesus, we saw the miracles he did, we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Peter was there when they in the Mount of Transfiguration, where he saw Christ transfigured. I believe that made a tremendous impression on Peter's life. I see that in Paul's life too. You know that Paul, the Apostle Paul, saw the Lord. He saw it in such a real way that I believe it struck him blind. He was blind for 3 days, I believe, from the light of seeing Christ. He was eyewitness of his majesty. You know, if we'd see some things like that, I think it'd knock any casualness out of us if we see those kind of things. But if we look into the Bible and we see it here, brothers and sisters, it's just as real. It's real. Someday we'll be judged by this book. Let's not be casual about it. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice from him to him from the excellent glory, which, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mound. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, he says. We have a more sure word of prophecy even in that. Whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of men, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And I think these are things that will keep us from going that way, from losing our way. I think there's just a lot of people have lost their way, because of being casual. Because of being casual. He shall never fall. He shall never fall. That's God's will. Let's be the new Peter. Let's be the new Peter. And I believe that with the new Peter, we won't forget the Savior who redeemed us. We won't forget. We'll want to be his disciples. I don't know about you, but I want to choose to be a disciple for Jesus Christ. I want to be His disciple. If you want the casual life, it'll end up being a casualty. The other one is a resurrected life. I want the resurrected life. May God bless you. Let's pray. Lord, I pray this morning that You just be with us as we try to digest these things. I pray that You'd speak to each of our hearts the things that are most needed in our own life. Lord, I just pray this morning that You could open our hearts and eyes to see Your powerful presence. May You speak to us some more as we meditate on these things. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.